Praise God. Welcome to Genesis 1 Christian Ministries. Pastor Mike here. I want to go straight to prayer. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for this time that we're about to have with you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We just praise you and magnify thy most glorious name. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that Holy Spirit will minister to every single listener that is out there, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will touch them and speak to them in your own special way. Heavenly Father, you know what's going on in their lives. You know what's going on in their hearts, O Lord God. So I pray, O Lord God, that Holy Spirit will make a mighty move today, O Lord God, to reach out and touch these your people, O Lord. I praise you, Lord God, and we worship you in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God again. Welcome to Genesis 1. Glad you could join us. Why don't you hit pause and go get your Bible, get a pencil, a pen, a marker, a piece of paper, maybe to take some notes on. As I always say, you'd be surprised how the things that you read in Scripture, and as we go over Scripture today, you'd be surprised how those things can come back to help you later on in life. So it's always nice to have your Bible nicely marked up and highlighted. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So anyway, today I want to just kind of put a question out there to you. Do you ever really stop to think about whether or not you should be pleasing God? You know, many times we go about our daily lives and, you know, we have prayers going up to God and we're asking for this and asking for that, you know, and asking for direction and so forth. But as far as actually pleasing God, does that even cross our minds as his children? You know, I mean, certainly if you don't know the Lord, you certainly don't think about pleasing him. But as his children, though, do we think about that? Do we sometimes feel that even that when we do think about pleasing him, do we feel sometimes that we're not doing enough to please him? Okay, that what we're doing and the actions that we're taking in our lives or things that we're not doing is not quite enough. So the question really comes to mind is then, you know, for today, how do I please God? You know, how do I please God? Sometimes we think that God is so powerful and so supernatural and all of this that he, you know, he doesn't need to feel pleased, you know, that we think he doesn't need to be pleased or even think about being pleased. Okay, so that's what we want to talk about today. You know, how is it that we please God? Well, pleasing God, very, very basically put, is centered around faith. Okay, pleasing God is centered around faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we learn about faith from the Bible's Old Testament heroes. One crucial detail stands out repeatedly in their lives is that they placed their whole confidence in God, entrusting themselves into God's hands. The actions and accomplishments of these people prove that faith pleases God. There's the answer to the question. Faith pleases God, and he rewards those who seek him. All right, so let's go to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. We see there it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you have your Bible there, please underline it or highlight that. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Underline that part too. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay? So we see right out the box here, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, many times, you know, we wrestle with faith and we struggle with faith and we have our doubts that pop in and out of our minds. But do we ever stop to realize that if we are in a faithless condition, or we are in a faithless, you know, feeling towards any situation in our lives, do ever stop and think that this could be displeasing God? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. The book of Hebrews points out two critical convictions of believers, two very important things for us believers. First, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. All right? Anyone that comes to him must believe that he exists. Those who desire to draw near to God must have a deep-rooted belief that he is indeed real. Such belief is not mere intellectual knowledge, but a wholehearted devotion to his presence and participation in every part of one's life. Without a genuine conviction that God exists, it is impossible to have an intimate relationship with him. Okay? We have to get past and well beyond an intellectual understanding or belief that God exists. All right? Many times I've heard people ask, oh, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Sometimes I refer to them as the higher power. When I hear that, I run in the opposite direction. Oh, I pray to the higher power, you know, This is some amorphous being that, or something that's out there that they're believing is existed. But we're talking about God. Okay. Do you believe that he really exists? And also I say, not in your head, not intellectually. Do you believe that deep within your being that God is indeed real? Because without that, you cannot develop an intimate relationship with him. How can you have an intimate, close relationship with someone that you, when you're not even sure that they exist? Think about it on a human level. What about your husband or your wife or your mom or your dad? You know, if you weren't sure that they existed, then how could you ever say that you love them? Okay, if you weren't even sure that they were real, just how can you say that you love them? Do you love God? Oh, yes, I love God. Do you believe he's real? Well, I believe that there's something out there. I believe that there is indeed a higher power. No. Do you believe in your heart of hearts that God is indeed real? So the first thing it says that for he that comes to God must believe that he is. Secondly, the Lord's followers must believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's the second part of verse number 8 there. He must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This aspect of faith trusts in the character of God as a good, loving, generous, gracious, and merciful Father. And we can see some of those examples by looking to Scripture where it talks about that. Let's go to James 1:16. And you see there it says, do not err, my beloved brethren. In other words, don't make any mistakes. Don't be mistaken about this. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Okay? So there's no change with God. Every good gift, every perfect gift that is given to us is from God. So we see that God is indeed a loving and a generous God. And that scripture said that God rewards those who earnestly or who diligently seek him. We also see if we go to Psalm 84, verse 8. And we see there, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Hear what that's saying. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walks uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. Okay, so if you're walking uprightly and you're walking in righteousness, then God is going to bless you. That's where all good things come from. And you saw there in Hebrews, it said that they who diligently seek him, that he will indeed reward them. So we have to keep that in mind. We have to diligently be going after God. Another scripture in that vein is Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. God's compassions, first of all, don't fail, all right? And it is by his mercies that we are just not consumed, you know, in sin and just cast into outer darkness, as scripture refers to. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, okay? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Did you ever stop to think about that? If you had a particularly bad day the day before, and maybe you slipped and you sinned and everything, and you went and repented, hopefully you earnestly repented before the Lord for how you slipped and sinned. The next day that you arise, they are new every morning. Okay, so the Lord's mercies. In other words, your slate is wiped clean by God. Okay, your slate is wiped clean. Every day, that's why I get up. I say, thank you, Lord, the God. This is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be oh so glad in it. because I know that this day God has given me more blessings. He just laid his, don't look at yesterday, how I messed up yesterday. This is a whole new day, and his mercies, the Lord's mercies, that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. All right. So we have to see, as our Hebrews said there, that if we're diligently seeking him, God is the giver. God rewards us. He rewards us if we are diligently seeking him. And if we are believing that he is real, that he exists, you know. So many times, you know, I think that if we could really, really believe that, it would stop us from slipping and sinning. Okay, if you realize that God was real and that he was there in the room with you, like God is in the room with you right now as you're listening to this message, can you believe that deep within your spirit? Okay. So many times, you know, and you've heard me preach on, you know, believing is believing and then you'll see. You know, if you believe that, then you will wind up benefiting and seeing the blessings that God has in store for you as he pours them out upon you. But that can only happen if you believe he's real. And a lot of times, and this is at the heart of faith, which is getting, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but a lot of times it's because of the fact that we can't see God that is so hard for us to believe that he is real. Okay. And that could be a major, major, major stumbling block for you. All right. You've got to get beyond the intellectual understanding that God is real to really believing that with the core of your being. God is real. The same he's listening to you, watching you and sitting with you as you're listening to this message. God perhaps guided you to this message for a reason. God may have been calling to you for many a year, many a season here. And now for some time, for some reason, today, the first time you decided to tune into Genesis One Christian Ministries, perhaps God guided you to this point in time because God wants to open your eyes. Time is growing short, saints. Make no mistake about it. Look at what's happening around us. Time is growing short. And God does not want anyone on this planet to perish. The word of God speaks about Jesus not returning until the word has covered the entire earth. All right, until the world is covered in time. And it's getting there, thanks to the internet and other means. Thank God it's getting there. But you specifically, God does not want you to perish. So maybe you were guided to this message here today. So if you're not sure that God exists, you need to get down on your knees after you hear this message and reach out and say, Lord, open my eyes and my heart and my ears and my understanding so that I may embrace you. Lord, I want to come to you. Lord Jesus, come into my life. These are realities that you need in your life. Don't waste any more time, saint. Don't waste any more time. If you don't know the Lord, now is indeed the time. So the two certainties that we mentioned so far are the groundwork of saving faith. Okay, that is believing that God is real. Okay, and that God rewards those who diligently seek him. Those are two foundational things we have to believe and understand. Okay, this is the groundwork of saving faith, of faith that pleases God. Because that's what we want to get at today. What pleases God? How do I please God? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, as we just read, because faith is the avenue. Faith is the avenue by which we come to God and trust him for our salvation. Okay? Faith is how we come to God and trust him for our salvation. Jesus went to the cross, and everything that is written tells us because of the work that he did on the cross, his death and resurrection, that we now have salvation. Okay? How do you know that? All right? You don't go to a store somewhere and download some form. You don't go to a church, for that matter, and download some form that says your name on it. You now have salvation. The word of God says that. Jesus said that. Jesus spoke about it. The word of God says that. So by faith, you have to embrace that and believe it. Okay, and that's how you please God. If you're doubting your salvation, even that is something you really need to get and talk to the Lord about and read the word of God and let him speak to you. Let Holy Spirit minister to you. Right. This is how we please God. And faith is that avenue. That's the vehicle by which we wind up trusting him. In his infinite wisdom, God provides the very thing that we need to draw near to him. We go to Ephesians 2:4. Ephesians 2, four. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. By grace you are saved. Grace. Grace means that God did something that we didn't even deserve. Okay, but he extended that grace and he saved us through his son, Jesus Christ. All right. and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. There it is again. By grace, underline that, please. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? So nothing that we could do could bring us to this point of salvation. It's the grace of God that, and by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Okay? You see, and it goes on to say, not of works, unless any man could boast. In other words, not of anything that we could do, because you know what? If we could save ourselves and we could go on and manage that process without God, we'd be bragging about it. Look at what I did. I saved myself. Not of works, not of anything that you can do. Not of works, lest any man should boast. All right? God knows that. Okay, but because of the fact he loved us so much, I mean, the first way, he loved us so much that to save us, he said, I'm going to give my only begotten son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to give my only begotten son to save mankind. Why? Because he loved us. And he did this without us deserving it. Okay? We're all sinners. We're born into this world as sinners. We don't know right from wrong. You know, we go in and we would commit sin, just going on and on and on and on into sin if we weren't made aware of the word of God and his love and his direction for us. Okay? We're all born into sin. So therefore, his way of saving us, because he loved us so much, was to send his son. All right? And that was the grace. Grace is undeserved merit, if you will. The grace period of a bill. You have a bill to pay to the bank, you know. And most bills these days, you know, I think, or they had anyway, a five-day grace period. And I always try to pay my bills on time, so it may have changed. But anyway, I think they give you like a five-day grace period or so to pay a bill. Okay? And that's undeserved. The bank just says, okay, I'll give you 5 days if you're going to be late. Well, grace is undeserved favor or undeserved merit. We did not deserve this, but God gave it to us. That's grace. And we received that grace by faith. Faith is because God said it. That's how I know that I have this grace. All right. You see, so we have to be aware of that when we're dealing and thinking about the things that God has done for us. All right. If we go to Hebrews 11:1, now we go back to the beginning of Hebrews here, because we started with verse number 6. Hebrews 11:1. Okay. And it says there, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you don't already have that underlined in your Bible, please underline it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Simply put, what that is saying, it means that you believe things without proof. Okay. Okay. And that now faith, where it says now, okay, that means you have faith right now for that situation that you're in. It's not that, oh, well, I had faith yesterday. That was good. I'll have faith tomorrow. Now faith is currently. Now faith is currently for the things that's going through your life right now, for the things that's going through your mind right now. As you're reading the word of God, you're having faith that what you're reading is indeed God's word and that it's true and that it's real and that he is real. Now faith is the substance. It's the very makeup. It's the material of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And again, simply put, it means that you believe things without proof. Hebrews 11 is full of examples of people who believed that God, and even though they often didn't see it come to pass in their lifetime. You see, don't forget all of these people that's mentioned here in Hebrews. I mean, these are Old Testament individuals. They did not have the Bible all neat and compacted into one book like we have today. But they believed God. They believed God and what God was saying to them through the prophets and through visions and through things like that. They simply believed it. They didn't have everything in a neat little book that you can carry around or have on your tablet or on your phone like we have today. But they believed it. Jesus Christ did not come in their lifetimes, but they believed that the Savior was coming. Okay? They believed that the Savior was coming. Jesus Christ was prophesied throughout old scriptures there. You can read it for yourselves. Okay, but they did not see the evidence of him coming, but they believed that it was going to happen. And so they believed and they trusted God. This is how they were blessed. They believed so strongly that they were willing to be persecuted. Some were tortured and some were even killed for what they believed. And we weren't there to see the manifestation of Jesus Christ, but they stuck to their guns and they believed. And as a result, they were persecuted, some even killed. Right? And even today, this is something that we are challenged with. We have to believe to the point of even not worrying about being persecuted. And it's happening in various pockets of the world, even in this country, here in the United States, where the Christian church is indeed being persecuted. But we keep our faith. We keep our faith. Okay? Because we know what the Word of God says. We know what the Word of God promises. And us, by us keeping our faith, then we are pleasing God. We are pleasing God. So don't worry about what you see going on around you. You have to make sure that you keep your faith. They believed it so strongly they were willing to be tortured and killed in some cases in the Old Testament. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, and you heard the scripture many times from me, we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, and that further kind of, sums it up. Pleasing God, you want to please God, you make sure that you're walking by faith and not by what you see or hear or are experiencing going on around you. If you listen to what's going on in the news, if you listen to what your next door neighbor is saying, if you listen to what some unbeliever is saying to you, you're listening to some old guy, some left wing, progressive something, who is just spouting all sorts of inaccuracies about God, about life in general, for that matter, then you're going to start losing faith. So we have to make sure that we're keeping faith regardless of what is going on around us. We don't walk by our eyes. We walk by faith and not by sight. With our natural eyes, we cannot see the realities of God's kingdom. But by faith, we receive the evidence or proof that they exist. A miraculous healing or getting a much-wanted job that only God could have made happen is an example of that.
Okay.
By that happening, you know that if you got that job, which seemed against all odds, okay, you know that God had to be involved in that. If you were healed when the doctor's reports and the x-rays that they showed you showed all these shadows and this and that going on, and they gave you all sorts of negative prognoses for what was going to happen with your life and I was going to be cut short, and then God heals you, okay? That's your evidence right there that God is real. Right? And by you having that faith, that's what manifests it in your life, into reality. So we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by our conditions that are around us. We make sure that we are walking always by faith. So, as we've established that faith, that without faith it is impossible to please God, it is also impossible to live for God, to follow and serve Him daily and persevere until the end without faith. All right? How can you live and persevere if you don't have faith? All right? So not only is it impossible to please Him, but it's impossible for you to develop a deep relationship with Him. You can't live for God if you don't believe He's real, if you don't have faith in what He's going to do. How can you make plans for your life? How can you, in my estimation, how can you even make plans to go from point A from your home to the mall, to the store? My wife and I pray every time we go out, okay? Now, I'm not saying that we drop down on our knees, and get the Bible out before we leave. But on the way to the car, out to our garage and whatnot, we're praying, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, please give us a safe and uneventful trip to and from the store, or to and from here, to and from this. Let the angels encamp round about the car to keep us safe from harm seen and unseen. And we're so in the habit of saying that we just pray it on the way to getting into the car. Okay, from the house into the garage. We just pray it because it's habit. And I want to make sure that God is there to watch over us. Because the faith I have is that when I pray that prayer, that He's going to do that, that He's going to honor that prayer, because I know He's going to be with me. I've gotten into the car and said, oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, I know You're here, but let me have a comfortable drive from point A to point B, wherever I'm going and so forth. I get out of the car and go into the store. And I leave the car in the parking lot there and say, Heavenly Father, please encamp Your angels round about the car while I'm gone. Because I recall the time that while I was in a doggone store, someone backed into the car and with a big truck and everything, had a trailer hitch on the front of it and dented the car and took off. Okay, luckily someone was there and they saw it happen and they came out and said, yeah, I saw it was a so-and-so car, et cetera, and it was all taken care of. A truck, I should say, and a so-and-so truck, and it was taken care of. But what I'm saying to you is that living for God is having God active and involved in every part of your life, even something as simple as going to and from the store and parking your car. That's what I'm saying. But you can't do that if you don't believe that He is real. You can't do that if you don't believe. So you can't live for God. Okay. Not only is it impossible to please him, but it's impossible for you to live for God, because if you don't really believe that he is real, the entire Christian life is lived out by faith. We go to Romans 1:17. Romans 1, verse number 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Underline that. The just shall live by faith. All right. So if you're considered a just person, you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you shall live by faith. But you can't live by faith if you're not having faith in God and you don't believe that he's real. So it goes back to that very basic thing again. How much do you really, really believe that God is real? Okay. If we go to Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38 simply says, now the just shall live by faith. There it is again. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. All right. The just shall live by faith. If you draw back, then my soul shall have no pleasure in him. See, so again, it's living by faith. It's living by faith. And you cannot do that if you do not believe that he is real. The Apostle Paul affirmed that he lived by faith. We go to Galatians 2:20. Oops. Galatians. Galatians 2:20, praise the living God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, there it is again, living. Living by faith. Right. And there are so many scriptures in the Bible there that I don't have time to cover every single one of them, but I'm just trying to make you see that what I'm saying about living by faith is not my words. These are not my words. This is what the Word of God is saying and how important it is for you. You know, if you think that you're struggling and everything, at the core of your struggling could be the fact of whether or not you believe that God is indeed real. And that you realize, okay, because it's such an eye-opener that when you realize, you know, you talk about pleasing God, I want to do this to please God, I go to church every Sunday, I'm tithing, I'm giving offerings and so on like that, and I'm trying to do all of these things, okay? But if you're not realizing that a lack of faith, when you're in a faithless moment in life, at that time there you're risking you're not pleasing God, okay? It's impossible to please him without faith, and we need to make sure that we realize that. Scripture refers explicitly to Enoch's faith as pleasing to God. We go to Hebrews 11:5. Hebrews 11:5. And you see there, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. In other words, he was caught up without seeing death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. We read before, okay? But you see there, Enoch, because of his faith in God, he didn't even see death. God simply took him up, picked him up, swooped him up, and took him into heaven, all right? So this is how important understanding that pleasing God is indeed so very, very critical to your life. Without dying, Enoch disappeared because God took him, for before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. How did Enoch please God? Through living by faith. Through living by faith, Enoch walked by God in faith. He obeyed the word that had been revealed up to that point and lived in the light of its truth. You see? So he obeyed the word. What was known up to that point. Again, they did not have the nice little compact Bible all bound or in an app and so forth. They did not have that. But they believed God as God revealed himself to them. Walking by faith means consistently living according to God's word. That's in John 14:15. Without faith, it is impossible to believe God's word and obey it. It's impossible to believe God's word and obey it. How can you believe a word is from God and obey it if you don't believe that he's real? And if you don't have faith in what he says is going to happen. Okay. You see, and again, this is that faith thing and living by it. You'll be surprised how once you come to the Lord and you have Holy Spirit in you, you'll be surprised how Holy Spirit will advise you. Okay. And if you're not believing and having faith that that word is indeed from God and knowing how to know that that word is from God, first of all, anything you hear from Holy Spirit is not going to contradict what the Bible, God's word, is saying in the first place. And that's a whole scripture unto itself. I mean, a whole sermon unto itself. But when Holy Spirit speaks to you, and then by faith, you know that that's God. And then you act on that. You're living your life according to God's word. You're living your life by faith in what God is telling you is going to benefit you, if you will. Okay, or will help you or will guide you in making a decision or whatever it is that you have to do. So this is living by faith, by knowing this is God speaking to me, and therefore I'm going to do exactly what God tells me to do. God is telling me, don't go down Fifth Street to work in the car. You may not know the whole reason why. There's a reason why God does not want you to go that way. Maybe there's going to be a major accident. Maybe there's something else that's going to go wrong and you take some other route. That's living by faith, knowing that this is God's word and this is God's voice telling me this. And I know that if I obey him, that I will be okay. This is living by faith. And when you're living by faith like that, then you are indeed pleasing God. Okay. You know, so many times I've seen people, and at the time they maybe didn't realize, but I've seen people struggling with things and weren't being blessed. When they finally, you know, come to me, Pastor, you know, yes, you know, I'm going to trust Jesus for everything here, ask Jesus into my life, and we pray together and so on like that. I really believe that at that point, God kind of, if you will, God kind of rolls up his sleeves and says, now I can work with him. Now I can work with her. Because they are finally giving their lives and giving their faith to me. Now I can work. There'd be so many times I believe God wants to do things for us. But then because of the fact that God has to live up to his word, he simply can't do certain things because we are not doing what we are supposed to be doing. Okay. And so if you want to please God, you get that faith thing in your life and activate it and step out and know that God is real and that he loves you and that all he wants you to do is to trust him and obey him. Without faith, it is impossible to believe God's word and obey it. Scripture says that it is impossible to please God through works of the flesh, the works of the flesh, the threat of the flesh. Go to Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, if you're living a fleshly or worldly life, the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. What you're saying is that's what you care about. That's what you chase about. Okay, the works, the things that men think that they're doing to please God, these actions, you know, that's a fleshly life. It's not walking by the law of the Spirit. It's not walking by the Spirit. Verse 5 again, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Okay, so what we need to be mindful of and are seeking are the things of the Spirit, not the things of the world, the fleshly things, the carnal things. To be carnally minded, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay? They that are in the flesh cannot please God. The easy way to look at that is that If you think that all I need to do is to give to God, okay, just give. And if I'm a good person, I don't do this, I don't. And I've heard so many people say, oh, I'm a good person, but they are not having faith in God. They're not having that faith. Then you're not going to be able to please him. Okay. You know, works and whatnot, those are fleshly, carnal things that people do when they're claiming that I'm a good Christian, and I'm doing all of these things on the surface. But deep in their heart of hearts, they don't believe that God is really, really real, and that they don't have faith that God can bring them through whatever's going on in their lives. Okay, that's carnally minded, where I'm always looking towards how much money can I work hard? How much money can I get in the bank? And granted, even though some of that may be the motive, maybe I want to get money in the bank so I can give more to God, okay? But if you're not believing in God, if you're not having faith in him, then you're still not pleasing him. You're still not pleasing him, okay? And if you're not pleasing him, then I mean, obviously, you're not going to wind up benefiting from him, all right? Verse number 9 says, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So be it, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay, so again, now it's having that faith and that understanding. We can't earn God's approval through good works. That's what I'm saying to you. We can't earn God's approval through good works. Only based on what Jesus Christ has done for us can we become holy and able to have a life pleasing to God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In fact, we cannot even begin to approach the Lord and experience a personal relationship with him without it. It's as simple as that. And I'm going to what the Word of God says there, okay? The Word of God says. Without that faith, you simply cannot be pleasing to God. Have you ever benefited from anybody that isn't pleased with you? You know, you're trying to try and get ahead, in your place of work, your place of business. You try to get ahead on your job, and if the boss really dislikes you, or you're not pleasing him, I guarantee the person that pleases the boss will wind up getting the raises and get the promotions and things like that. Well, God is obviously far more important than any employer. God is far more important than any boss. God is far more important than anyone that's in your life. All right? All right? And people that are in our lives, we tend to want to please them. Most normal people, quote unquote normal people, you know, go through life wanting people to be pleased with them. Not too many people I know want to go through life just alienating people or getting people angry at them. Most of the time you want people to be pleased with you. But we don't stop to think about that with God. Right? We go through our lives, we go to church, you know, maybe we say our prayers, and we read the word, you know, faithfully. But do we really think about where is our level of faith? Because if I want to please God, it's not how many chapters I can read before bed at night. Not how many chapters I can read before I go to work at night. It's not how much I tithe. It's not how much I give in offerings. It's not how good I am. But it's having faith in God. Because that's the thing that really, really makes God pleased with you. Right? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We can't even begin to approach the Lord and experience a personal relationship with him without having it. You want to develop a good relationship with God? Well, it starts with you having faith in him. Because you won't be able to have that relationship if you don't have that faith. Faith is the atmosphere in which the believer's life is lived. That's the atmosphere in which the believer's life is lived. We are called believers because of the fact that we are continually putting our faith, our trust, and our confidence in God. How can you say you're a believer if you're not putting your faith and your confidence in God? Okay, because otherwise, if you do and you're believing something else, you're believing a lie. Okay. People say, oh, are you a believer? Oh, yes, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Are you living your life like you're a believer? Living your life as a believer is putting faith in God always and all times, regardless of how dire the situation may seem. Right. And you want to activate, you know, God in your life, then you make sure that you have that faith. And therefore, you will indeed start pleasing him. By faith, the Christian life begins. By faith, the Christian life begins. And by faith, it perseveres until the end. Okay? By faith, your Christian life begins. And by faith, you will continue to persevere until the end. Until Jesus returns, until Jesus raptures us away. Okay? Until the end of the day, till the end of the week. By faith, you will persevere through whatever situation you might be going through right now. By faith, you will persevere regardless of the pain that you have in your body. By faith, you will persevere regardless of what the doctor's reports are saying. By faith, you will persevere regardless of what your bank account is showing right now. By faith, you will persevere and let God work in your life, knowing that he's there to bless you, knowing that he is there and that he wants to minister to you, knowing that he's there not wanting you to suffer, either physically, mentally, emotionally, or any other way. So remember that your faith begins, your faith with God begins with you believing and wanting to please him. The champions of the Old Testament, like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Joseph, Rahab, Gideon, and David, all lived by faith, all of them, all of them. And we know their stories. We know their life stories. If you've been reading the Bible, you know what it's all about. It was all about faith. As they looked toward their future hope, they relied on God to fulfill his promises. They relied on God to fulfill his promises. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly, a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepared for them a city. Okay. See, they did not see the benefits of what was being prophesied back then. But yet still they had the faith. It said they all died in faith, not having received the promises, not having seen or received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They knew the prophecies of the Savior, seeing them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, you and I are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Right? We're here, but we are passing through. We're here, but we are passing through. We are going to a better place, a better country, as is referred to here, which is talking about heaven. So until we get to that point, we have faith in God, trusting and knowing that he is going to get us to where he wants us to be. We have faith, and therefore we know that by that faith that we're having, that he will be pleased with us. And while we're living here on this earth, though we will have tribulations, Jesus said that we'll have trials and we have tribulations, but we keep faith through that. Just like you keeping faith right now to the situation that you have. That family member that is troubling you, you keep praying to God. You keep letting Holy Spirit guide you. Okay? The Holy Spirit guide you how to speak to that person, to bring them around so they will open their hearts and hear the Lord. Holy Spirit is tugging at them. That loved one that you're so worried about, Holy Spirit is tugging on them. Okay. All you need to do is ask the Lord to show you, to give you the words, what to say and how to minister to them as God presents the opportunity. That's all. Okay. Let God guide your thoughts and God guide your actions. But that loved one, God is calling out to them. So don't you be worrying yourself to death. Don't burden yourself with that. Okay. That's God's job. Let God give you the words. Ask God to give you the words to say at the right time so you can minister to that person. Amen. Stop worrying about those finances. You out there that has bank issues or financial issues. Stop worrying about that. You continue to have faith in God. Trust him. Believe that he is real. Believe that he is there. And he's waiting for you to just start confessing him, to start praying to him, to start trusting him. He's just waiting for you to do that. Just start to do that. Okay. Stop worrying about infirmities. Don't be so quick to get caught up and worried about what the doctors are saying. I believe that God blessed doctors with the medicines and how science is advancing and so forth. But ultimately, my trust is in God. Okay. And one thing I always pray when people ask me to pray for them going into hospitals, going for surgeries and things like that, is that the Lord will guide those doctors' thoughts and actions, that Holy Spirit will guide their thoughts and their actions and their decisions in evaluating the tests and things like that. God uses science because God is the creator of science. So I'm not saying to turn your back on doctors, not at all. But what I'm saying, though, is to trust God, have faith in God, that he will bring you through that that procedure that's upcoming, or your doctor's visit, or what you're so worried about happening in your body right now. God, Jesus Christ, is the ultimate healer, so you have faith in him, and have faith and pray that God will guide the doctor's actions and decisions, and all of the technicians in the operating room and in the doctor's office. I always pray for them. Amen. Amen. What I'm saying is that everything in your life is based on God. Everything in your life is based on faith. Everything in your life is based on you pleasing God and knowing that God is real, knowing that he is real. All of the people in the Old Testament there that we just read about, they all obeyed God's word, even when they did not understand it. Even when they did not understand. That's what you have to get to. Stop always trying to rationalize and reason out what you hear God telling you to do. Stop trying to figure it out. If you know that, this is what God is telling you to do, then simply do it. That's having faith. And by you having faith, that will indeed please God. That will please him. The kind of faith that they had in Old Testament there, this kind of walking by faith, accepting as truth the things that we cannot yet touch, feel, or see, then acting on them in obedience is the prescription for living a life that pleases God. You want to please him? Don't try and rationalize again and reason. If you don't understand what he's telling you to do, just do what you know that he's telling you to do. We may not see ourselves right now as God does. Most likely you don't see yourself right now as God does. You don't see yourself as holy and made righteous by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But when we accept the evidence in God's word, when we accept the evidence in God's word in accordance with Romans 10:17, and reach out in response to experience fellowship with him, then we begin to live by faith. And that pleases God. And that pleases God. When you accept the evidence that is in God's word, and you reach out in response to experience fellowship with him, then that's when you begin to live by faith. And then you are pleasing God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hope this message was a blessing to you. And if it was, please pass on how we can be reached. We can be found at www.genesis1.sermon.net, www.genesis1.sermon.net. And if you look at the top of the page, you'll see a subscribe button. Click on that subscribe button, and you'll be notified automatically whenever these messages are available to you. We also have apps for Android and Apple devices at their app stores. You can download them all free of charge. We're also on YouTube, Genesis One Christian Ministries. Just do a search for that. Our sermons and messages are also there. And everything on our website and through the apps. The apps are free. You can download these messages, video or audio only portion, if you like, to make it easier for you maybe to play in your radio, in your car, MP3 player and so forth. We want to make the word of God just easily available, readily available to you. And it's there for you simply by going to the website there and clicking on the messages and downloading them. And also, if you are in the Salem, Oregon area, by all means, stop by to visit a live worship service with us. Come by and fellowship with us. We'd love to have you. We're at 2651 Commercial Street Southeast, 2651 Commercial Street Southeast, and services are held at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings, of course. Come on by and join us. We'd love to have you. Come, we'll pray with you, pray for you. If you have from infirmities, something you're worried about there, come on by, and we will certainly pray with you and pray for you as Holy Spirit so guides. Amen. Amen. So praise God. We love you, and I'm so glad that you're able to come here by to study the word with us today, and look forward to having you come back again in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for this time that we had with you here today, O Lord. And we pray that as we go through the rest of the day and the week ahead of us until next time, that we shall remember these words, O Lord God. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that Holy Spirit will just move on the hearts of those listeners that were here today, to have them, O Lord God, to simply really walk by faith and not by this situation or by sight, O Lord God. We pray in the name of Jesus, O Lord God, every single listener there will just remember these words and get these words deeply, deeply rooted within their spirits, O Lord God, because we realize from what we've just read and what we've just heard, O Lord God, that we have to be able to trust you and have faith in you, because it is indeed our desire to please you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. We magnify thy name in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Go forth and be blessed. And remember always that Jesus is indeed Lord.